Episode 2260, My Strength is My Story with Angie Smith, Woven.
Moms, needing a little inspiration and a ray of hope? You've come to the right place. This is the show that you can turn to for just the pick-me-up you need. This is Create Your Now, Your Best Selfie. Here's your host, certified life coach, personal trainer, and nutritionist, Christiane Wargo. Staring at a stop
sign, watching people. Happy, happy day. Today is my favorite day of the week. It is My Strength is My Story series, and we have with us best-selling author Angie Smith. She's got a brand new book out, but you know what? More importantly, our conversation was heart-to-heart, two girlfriends getting together, talking about what really matters in going deep. It's a conversation I know you'll want to listen to. For those of you who are brand new to Create Your Now, friends and family of Angie's, welcome to our family. I'm so delighted of your presence. If you already had the opportunity, you'll want to head on over to createyournow.com, where you can learn more and sign up for the Kisses newsletter, the Keep It Simple strategy, everyday solutions to live, love, and impact. Well, you know, two girls getting together in the South. I got to tell you, it's sweet tea. Oh, sweet tea is wonderful. And by the way, this episode is brought to you by the AIM Academy. You're going to want to grab something to drink because we are going to dive deep. We talk about anxiety. We also talk about confidence. And where is your confidence when it comes to the Bible? Do you see the Bible as a seamless story? Or is it just loose ends? Things that you're just kind of piecing together. What if you could connect all the dots and God would ready your heart to see the whole story seamless? Without further ado, let's welcome in Angie Smith, Woven. Hello and welcome to Create Your Now. I am so excited. We have Angie Smith in the house today. She's a mom of five. That means, we almost have a full football team together between the two of us. She is a wife of 20 years to her husband, Todd, the lead singer of the Dove Award-winning group, Selah. And just for fun, they have a dog, Finley, and their cat, Oliver. Angie's deep-seated passion of walking with Jesus in her everyday and fueling her deep desire to understand and help others understand the Bible more intimately has led her to become a best-selling author. You might recognize her Bible studies, Matchless, The Life and Love of Jesus, and Seamless, Understanding the Bible as One Complete Story. She has also written two children's books and several adult books, including Chasing God and What Women Fear. Angie's latest project, though, is her brand new book, Woven, Understanding the Bible as One Seamless Story. Get ready to see God's heart woven in your everyday. Welcome, my friend and sister in Christ. How are you?
Hi, I'm great. That was a very impressive introduction. Wow.
It's your story, girl. Come on.
I'm very impressed.
Well, you should be, you know it. But it's nice when you can look back, you know, and hear somebody else tell it. You're like, that doesn't sound too bad.
I know. I was like, I've done some stuff. I put words on paper. Yeah.
More than just a few words. Oh, well, you're so welcome. Well, I have to ask you, what brings you joy?
Oh, goodness. Wow. Oh, that's a kickstart. My family, most of the time. Today, not so much.
Today, not so much. Well, let's see. We're into 2021. Is 2021 starting off a little bit better than mid-2020?
Goodness, I want to say yes. Not yet. I'm optimistic that it's going to. Right this second, it's been not my absolute favorite.
Yes, I can understand that. Well, take us back. What was it like for little Angie growing up?
Oh, little Angie had a lot of anxiety. Little Angie was hospitalized at the age of three for anxiety. So, yeah, I would say little Angie was probably smarter than she should have been. And so she imagined anything that could go wrong all the time. So yeah, that's not the happiest answer. I had a great childhood, but that's the first thing that comes to mind when you ask is I kind of look back and see her from here. I still struggle with it, but when I look back and even when I see pictures, I'm like, I remember what that felt like. And, little Angie, thought she was much bigger than she was.
You grew up, you write about this in your book, not in a Christian home, yet right. you wrote a Christian book about understanding one seamless story within the Bible.
I know. Yeah.
How does that correlate?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Good question. It's a great long story, but the snippet of it is that I didn't grow up in a Christian home, but I moved to Nashville to go to graduate school, and I was invited to a Bible study with some sweet girls. Didn't know what a Bible study was. And in fact, the second week I wrote about this, I brought the only Bible I had, which was Precious Moments Bible. I was a mess. But basically, I just was in this Bible study, and it was so interesting to me, but it felt so disjointed. Like I felt like I had been a pretty smart person, and I just couldn't make sense of it. So I literally went and sat in a Christian bookstore in the kids section and started with like picture books just to try and understand this story. Because it felt like all these little pieces, like, okay, I know Jonah and the whale, right? I know the garden, I know Jesus came, but I wanted a resource so badly that would sort of help me understand this. And at the time I just couldn't find one. And so, when the time came around to write a Bible study, that was really my passion. And then it just kept translating into, again, part of my bio, this passion for helping people understand the story of Scripture as one, you know, narrative and not all these little pieces that we can often pull out without the context.
That's so fascinating because also for those who don't know, you got your master's degree in developmental psychology.
I did.
And so you're very much a wordsmith because you're dealing with the mind and then you're also doing it on paper. What is it for you that you love just creating with words?
You know, I've always loved words. I feel like books were my best friends growing up. I was very, very nerdy. Got made fun of a lot. And so I feel like that was my safe place. And the way about a year and a half ago passed away, but he was also a writer, was never published, should have been. And so I think part of it was just having him be so passionate about this and really instilling that in me from a really young age. But I never thought it'd be something I would do. I didn't, you know, it's hard to say, I'm going to be a singer one day, or I'm going to be a writer. It's a little bit more complicated than that. And it's a gift to be able to be, but I studied other things just thinking I wasn't going to get to use my words that way. So yeah, I feel like it was passed down to me. My sister loves to paint. My dad was also a painter. And so we often say that when he passed away, he left me his pen and he left her his paintbrush. He was pretty special.
Oh, that's beautiful, Angie. What a beautiful way to honor your father, really. And you each have a unique piece of him, and you continue to live out his legacy in caring that of which he gave you a gift and a talent. You know, it's interesting how you write that the pages of the Bible are like taunting tissue. That grabbed me, and that was very early in the book. And it reminds me of, you know, wrapping things with tissue paper at Christmas time. And I know, I mean, to think about it, we're less than 10 months away from Christmas. Can I just say, holy cow, you know, this is not good. It's around the corner. But now you find yourself woven in the Bible. What was your inspiration in writing this book?
I really think back to those graduate school days and wanting to understand this. And again, I love the research of it. I could be in school forever. I just love trying to piece things together. And I wanted it to be in my voice. I didn't want it to be so high level that it felt confusing. I wanted it to be a conversation that I was having with people because it is a lot. I mean, when you're going through it and you open to a certain page, it's like, okay, this is a list of names that mean nothing to me. And there's just, I love watching people's faces open up to something and go, that's who he was. Okay. Or that's why that happened. Or that's how the Old Testament is related to the New Testament. And what I've learned and what's been a gift to me is that there are people who have been believers straight out of the womb who don't know a lot of this. And so I think people who are intimidated need not be. even, you know, it's amazing to me how many pastors' wives or people who are just steeped in the ministry and just are overwhelmed. And so my passion really was to try and make it as simple as possible. Obviously, I don't have a degree in that, and I don't know everything, but I love the idea of someone feeling so empowered by their knowledge that when they open it up, they see something a little bit differently and understand the context a little bit more.
Well, it truly does come across that. I have read your whole book. I was privileged to get an advanced copy of it, so I get to know the inside secrets. But with that, it's nice to have that kind of in with things. But, I do believe Christians feel lost even though they're found. How can we begin to gain confidence when we read the Bible?
You know what? I think sometimes what it takes, at least for me, is first of all, just committing, I think, to being curious when you go into it. That to me is such a big thing that I just, and feeling like I am trusting the Holy Spirit to illuminate this in a way that makes sense to me. And maybe what that means is today I open up to one story or one psalm or one person, and I just camp on it and I Google it. There's Blue Letter Bible is one of my absolute favorite websites. And so I would say just to take the next step past that, I just think the digger you deep into it and the more you start to understand, the less overwhelming it feels. It's not easy. I mean, obviously we've all seen the pages that are absolutely filled with so much knowledge, but I do think that the Bible is for us. It wasn't written just for these people who have degrees and who are scholars. And so I just think trusting that the Holy Spirit will speak to you the same way he speaks to everyone else, and that it's not over your head, and to go into it thinking, Lord, reveal this to me and help me find resources or talk to someone that will just give me insights that maybe I haven't had. Because then the next time it feels different. Once you sort of get that rhythm, I think people try and take these huge chunks instead of just maybe narrowing it down and starting with something basic and then going from there. That my tendency is to just kind of like back up. If I see everything and I'm like, I'm never going to understand this. And as soon as you can just start to get pieces, it gets easier. But I understand that it's overwhelming.
Yeah, it very much is overwhelming, especially for new Christians or people who may not claim to be a Christian, but they are curious and they have that curiosity. Right. For those right. particular people right there, mm-hmm. where would you suggest that they take a peek into the Bible so they can kind mm-hmm. of remove a little bit of that overwhelm and stay in it a little bit longer than saying, that's it, throw their hands up in the air, and they walk out?
Right. Right. Well, I know a lot of people will say, I love the book of John. The book of John is one of my favorites. And the way the gospel is presented, John just has his own beautiful way of doing it. But, I think one of the most interesting books of the Bible is Genesis. I just think there's so much covered. And of course, that isn't, it's not going to tell the story of Christ, but it tells a lot about Christ's coming. And it has a lot to do with the lineage that he came from and these stories that are intense. I mean, Genesis reads like a novel. So I know for me, I don't know how many times I was like, I'm going to read the whole Bible start to finish. And I got to Leviticus. I was like, that's a buzzkill. I'm not going any farther in this. That's the ultimate, like, forget it. I'm not reading through the Bible. So try and make it through Genesis, skip to, let's do some Exodus. But the book of John, as far as the New Testament, is probably where I would say to start.
Oh, that's great. I love that. Well, there are some big struggles for Christians when it comes to reading the Bible. How does Woven create a seamless journey?
Gosh, well, my hope is that, again, it shows the way that, first of all, that this is, it sounds so silly for me to say, but that this is real history. This isn't just these stories that were thrown in place. There were real kings that we study about in school that are in scripture. And so part of it for me was just setting that as sort of the baseline. We are approaching this as a true story. And when we put it there and we set it in that context and we're looking at things, then we start to say, how in the world would that have happened? And then Christ would fulfill all of these things that were hundreds of years before him coming. And you start to just, again, it's like, this is one story. And the Old Testament perfectly tells us exactly how Christ is going to come, and he completely fulfills the Old Testament. But again, I don't think a lot of people understand how those two go together as one story. They sort of think it is Old Testament and New Testament. This is who God was then. He was punitive. He did all these things. And then Jesus came, and it was, and that's just, that's really not the whole story. And so we're missing some of the most beautiful parts if we can't figure out how to tie that together.
Well, and part of that, I too think, Angie, comes from, we go to church on Sunday, maybe Wednesday, and now I know things look a lot different. We're going on Zoom to church, and we're watching things that we don't have that interaction as much anymore. You know, I remember growing up, we're close to the same age, you know, and so.
You look a lot younger than me, and
well, thank you.
The numbers you gave me, that's not true, but.
Well, you know, when I think back to growing up, And I was raised in a Christian home. My father was a minister. Yeah, he was a minister. And then I also, though, am a Army brat, Navy brat. So I am a firecracker waiting to go off. I am. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so it's kind of crazy. But with all of that, I remember, you know, sitting in church and opening the Bible and like, okay, what'd you say, Dad? In my head, I'm thinking this, not saying it out loud, trying to flip and trying to find it. But now we have everything on our phone. We can't touch those taunting tissue paper, you know, as you talk about it in your book, and we don't feel it. I don't think anybody's ever really spoke much about why is the Bible printed on a very unique paper. No other book do you find printed on that kind of paper that is just like you touch it and it almost could dissolve, but it doesn't. It's fascinating.
Absolutely. It is fascinating. And it's, you think about how much information is in there, that if it were in regular, I mean, it's an overwhelming amount of information. And you have to use the right highlighter for that kind of book. I found that out the hard way many times.
Yeah, because it seeks through. You know, you're just like, oh, I see pink on both sides.
I was like, why did I highlight? Oh, I didn't. I highlighted the page before and now it just looks like it.
I know. You're like, oh, man. And then you go to Crayolas, or if your kids get a hold of you, you're like, oh, seriously. Yes.
Oh, I've got a couple that have been destroyed. Absolutely.
I know. But you still keep them, right? Because there's a memory there with them. You don't throw them away. You still have them. I love it. Well, speaking of Seamless, because you have a Bible study, Seamless, and you also have a Bible study, Matchless. Well, you wrote that best-selling Bible study, Seamless, Understanding the Bible as One Complete Story. Mm-hmm. How do the threads of Woven and Seamless intertwine?
Oh, that's a great question. I love the way you phrase that. When I wrote Seamless, it's a true Bible study. You're doing homework. There are blanks. You have to have a Bible next to you to be able to go through it. And I loved doing it so much, but we got to a point where we started thinking, I wonder if there are people who might not even have a Bible, who might be intimidated by a Bible study, or people who have done Seamless and just want to sort of get a more expanded version of it where we dig in a little bit deeper. And so my prayer was to sort of take what the baseline of Seamless was and to turn it into something that you could just hand someone as a book and say, even if you're curious, or if you've been a believer for a long time, or if you're just in a season where you don't want to open your Bible and you're not in a Bible study and that feels overwhelming for whatever reason, I hope that this will be a resource that will be available to people like that. And again, even if you aren't interested in Christianity, you don't believe any of it, the story is beautiful. And you could pick it up like any other book and appreciate it. So that's sort of how the two are related.
Oh, that's so good. Y'all are going to want to pick up your own copy of Woven, Understanding the Bible as One Seamless Story. Well, Angie, as we know, with any great book, there is a connection to the author. Where did God meet you in understanding the Bible more deeply than just words on a page?
I would say that I'm going to try not to cry because I have other podcasts that are going to involve video after this. But When I was in the process of writing this, even, so I'll just kind of take that chunk of time as far as how I saw scripture. My dad was very sick. He's the hero of my life. And I really didn't want anything to do with Jesus at that point. My sister was going through breast cancer. My grandmother died 2 months after my dad. My mom has severe mental illness, didn't get out of bed for years and years. And all of this, I mean, there were emergency brain surgeries, and it was just a season that you wouldn't watch the movie because it would seem so ridiculous. And this sounds like sort of a cheesy way to say it, but I was on a deadline. They were very generous with it, but eventually I was having to work on things, and I'm like, how am I writing something like this when I'm such a mess? And I feel like God was like, you got a deadline, get in the word. Like, you might not want to, but this is your job right now. And so what I say about this and just sort of the experience that I've had during this season was, again, it sounds really cheesy, but the best way I can land on it is that I feel like I lost my father, and I started finding my father. I lost my dad, but I think I found my father a little bit more. And God is smart, and he knew the way to do that and to sort of force me to find him and rely on him again. I still struggle a lot just with the loss, and there's just such an ache. So, but this book, and just, it's really tender to me because of that. And I feel like he showed up in a way that brought those pages to life in a different way.
Oh, that's beautiful, Angie. Well, I can definitely tell in your writing. I've read a lot of books, and there is something there. It does appear that you leave a piece of your heart with the words that you've shared. And I, too, lost my father early. He was 65 when he passed away. Thank you. And it's been years now. But like you said, yours is a lot fresher than mine. But you never lose that ache.
Yeah,
they are your hero, you know, and you want to hold them close. But I think it's so beautiful that you have taken a gift that your earthly father gave you with his words, and now you're passing it on truly to help others reach their eternal father.
That's really beautiful.
Oh, my gosh, girl. I mean, that gives me goosebumps.
Yeah, me too. That means a lot to me. It's anything I can do to honor both of them, obviously, but I'd like to feel like I'm making my dad proud by what I'm doing. And he was overly proud. He would be driving to the beach, he would stop at every Lifeway, pick up anything I had, be like, this is my daughter. Did you know, are you selling a lot of these? Or isn't she great? She's great. Like, my dad was more proud of me than I would have ever been of myself. He was really an amazing man, which is, you know, you and I can both say, we grieve something that we're so blessed to have had. You know, a lot of people don't have that. Even though my dad, you know, I didn't grow up in a Christian home. I believe that he was a believer when he passed away. But he was such I wrote this in the dedication of one of my other books, but he really made it easy to believe in a good father. And I think that a lot of people don't get to tell that story. And so that, you know, you understand that goes along with the ache is it's because it was something that's worth grieving, you know, it's hard, but I'm grateful that I had him.
Oh, he sounds like an incredible man. And I know he's looking down on you right now, Angie, saying, girl, you go get him, you go get him. And he's cheering you on for sure. And it's interesting you bring up the point, though, we were blessed to have good fathers, even though I was raised in a Christian home, you were not. However, those who aren't either gifted with great fathers, if they've experienced a bad father, how then can they look to Jesus, to God, as being this incredible father? You do wonder kind of, why wouldn't you question that? Because what they've experienced is bad. What is one thing that you have drawn close to in God through your journey? It may not have been seamless going through with what you did in with your father's death, your grandmother's, and then your sister's battle, and then obviously dealing with your mom. What's one characteristic that God said, I need you to know this, and I want you so intimately attached to me? What did he tell you?
Oh, that's a great question. I think he taught me that just because you don't feel connected to God does not mean that you aren't. I think there was a lot in me that I would be driving somewhere and I would just be screaming. I don't even know if I can believe this. Why would you, you know? And I felt like God said, you're bringing it to me. You do believe, even if you don't feel like you do. And you can be angry. You can take it out. You're not, nowhere in scripture does it say you're not allowed to be frustrated or angry. Or, I mean, read the Psalms. David was ticked. But he's still talking to God. And so I feel like that was one thing that God really spoke to me, was your faith does not depend on how you're feeling. And that has been a real comfort to me. Because I think a lot of us look for that. I feel so much peace. I feel, you know, and the fact that you may not feel it does not take away the fact that it's true. And I think, yeah, that for me was probably the loudest thing that he whispered during that time.
Wow. That's incredible. Seriously. You know, to have that, because think about it, our feelings are earthly.
Right.
And that means they can actually be of fault, meaning, you know, we attach to them. And so I know I've been in circumstances that, oh my gosh, I'm having some conversation. And that's, I love that about your book, by the way. It is just good. I mean, you're talking in everyday terminology. It's not this fluff stuff. You don't have to have a doctorate degree to get through the first page, which I know I've picked up some of those books. And I'm like, seriously? I'm going to use it as, you know, a doorstop instead of, you know, I mean, let's get real here. I love your authenticity and just pouring that out. Well, through your research and exploration, because I know you like to use your highlighters and you want to dig deep of the scriptures, what has surprised you and captured your heart?
I feel like I've said it so many times, but the truth is just, again, I'm someone who's loved stories since probably since the day I could read. And to understand how beautiful the story is from start to finish, and to be able to go back and see, you know, you're reading something in Psalms or in Isaiah, all these, they just feel so distant. And you're reading something and you're like, they're talking about Jesus. There's no way that there could be this, you know, hundreds of years prior, describing how he would come to a virgin, how he would be crucified. I mean, I think for me, I never ceased to be captured by the fact that it couldn't have happened by chance. It's a story that exists in real history. And that for me is like, that lights me on fire. It feels like it's true in a different way.
Oh, I can kind of feel it. You're honestly kind of trying to turn down the energy a little bit there, but I could tell you just want to be like, I'm on fire when this happens. It is awesome. Yes, exactly. And we should be at that point in our walk with Jesus, right? He wants us to bring everything, the good, the bad, the ugly, and he also wants us to receive that from him, because he's got to teach us some things too. What do you hope that your readers will gain when they pick up this book to see the bigger story?
Well, I hope they will feel like I'm with them. I hope they will feel like I'm sitting and talking and saying, I'm not smarter than you. I just think it's a really cool story, and I want to tell it the way I would tell it if you and I were talking. And I agree. I think I'm so nerdy. I have a lot of those big books like over here because they're so fancy. Look at all those commentaries. But I can't pick one of those up and sort of get the story. And that's a lot. So for me, I think it's just that there would be a resource, however many other big books or no books are on their shelf, that would be one that they could pull out, and it would feel relatable and warm, and also just that they would be able to walk away feeling like, I got it, you know, like this is, I'm glad I got to be friends with Angie and we got to walk through this together. That when I write anytime, that's always what my hope is.
Oh, well, that's a beautiful hope to have. And, you know, when I read it, I could definitely say that you can look at a commentary and pull that, but that's also like reading a dissertation, just saying.
Right.
And you can get lost in their words and then you're like, you crisscross them over to the Bible and like, wait, what a minute? I don't think so.
Totally.
You know, but your book, I can see people using it going, okay, well, I want to study John. Well, let's go look at John. But wait, it mentions this scripture and it references Psalms. Well, then let's go look at Psalms. And then you start making connections that, you know, it's like connecting those neurons that you never thought you could connect. And you're like, the angels are singing.
I love it. I know. That's my hope, is that they will feel like the angels are singing.
Well, it's going to be one of those things where people need to keep this next to their Bible and use it and go back and forth as a reference. Because, yes, you actually share personal stories in here, which those are fun too. But it's also great to, after you've read those personal stories, to take then the meat of it, which is you telling the bigger story, which is God's story, and connecting it all together. You know, life can get real crazy, Angie. And I know because you got a lot of kiddos at home like me. Yeah. The kids come over and you're like, seriously, neighbors, can we keep it down? You hope the internet is still up and running when you need it, you know, all this stuff. And sometimes we even get to the point where we forget to pick up our Bible or even make time with God.
Yes.
How is God woven in your everyday?
I think that I've tried to stop beating myself up for not having the quiet time that I imagine everyone else has. You know, you're sitting, you've got your coffee, you've got your Bible open, you spend an hour taking these notes and praying. And I really feel like I sort of had to be released from that just because I'm a rule keeper. So when I became a believer, I was like, okay, but how do you do it? What are the rules? How do I do that? I like practical, and so I think for me, it's been learning how to have conversations with God throughout the day, just to talk, just to say, Lord, would you, just be present in this conversation? Or would you just to make it more of a part of my life that isn't represented by me trying to do it the way that everyone else, I imagine everyone else does it. And also trying to be really disciplined about being in the Word. But sometimes that just means one or two verses. Sometimes that just means that I sit on that for a little bit. And again, I think the way my brain works, I'm like, well, I've got to get four chapters done. If I'm going to sit here, I have to. So it's this, I think being released from this, I'm not totally released, but this sort of imaginary idea of how everyone else lives out their faith, you know, it's hard. That's really hard. I think more people struggle with that than say it. So I'm always interested in how people, like, how would you answer that question? Well, I don't know.
Well, I would answer it like this. Okay, this sounds really strange, but if I'm at the grocery store, I might be looking at my lettuce and I'm like, Lord, which head would you pick? Like, and it's literally like he is with me every day. I have conversations when I'm cooking or when I'm working with the kids. Yes. And all of a sudden I'm like, Lord, you need to give me patience. And I'm saying it out loud. I'm not sitting there having the prayer in my head. I'm this child is getting to me. You need to calm my temper before I do something. Then I put myself in timeout. No. But it is. It's just I wrap him really in my everyday. And I think, like you said, you want to be real. And that's what I gather from your book, Woven. And you can't be real if he's not with you in the shower, if he's not with you at the grocery store, if he's not with you when you're taking the kids to dance and soccer and football and whatever else. You've got to wrap him up. And I do think that means that you have to let down your guard and stop comparing, like you just said.
Totally.
Because my quiet time is not in that sweet little chair, having a warm cup of something to drink, which is only really water because I don't drink coffee.
Oh.
My life doesn't look that way.
Yeah.
You know? And so I think for women especially, we get stuck on this comparison.
Absolutely.
You know? And then where does that leave God? Because I don't compare to God. But if we're comparing ourselves to somebody else who is claiming, right? Because we don't know their walk. We don't know their intimate relationship. So we can only say that they're claiming they're a Christian because they say they are. Well, if I compare myself to them, then am I not also thinking that, am I comparing myself to God? And there's not a comparison there.
No, there's not. Yeah. And you're exactly right too, because we do, we live in an era where we're looking at a legitimate filter. I mean, so every, it's being thrown at us in a way that it has never been done in the history of life, where it is just so in front of us that, but my neighbor, John, Acup, who's also a writer and comes up with all these brilliant things, he said, you're comparing your life to their highlight reel. Like, you're comparing it to their, what they're presenting. And we know that, and we would all say that, but I don't know that we actually take that in. I would say that, and I know it's true. I still, when I open Instagram, feel insecure and feel, you know, and so again, feelings and truth are different. I'm aware that this is probably not the healthiest way to see myself or other people's lives, but I'm so drawn to it and then beating myself up. It's like this, I just think that cycle is so easy. You know, I go to something thinking, I don't know why every time, oh, I'm going to enjoy this. And I walk away like, man, her nursery. Like my 10-year-old daughter said to me the other day, tell me about my gender reveal party. I was like, a woman we had never met before said, I think it's a girl. That was your gender reveal party. You know, like there's so, everything is like a thing right now that you are doing or not doing and missing or not missing. Or it just, for people like me, and I think a lot of, I do think women in particular, that can take a serious toll, you know? So I need to be more disciplined about that, to be honest.
Well, and not think about it. You know, you'd mentioned at the very beginning, what was little Angie like growing up and the anxiety.
Right.
So you take comparison and looking at that, where do you think that leads you? Like, oh my gosh. And it maybe it's not exactly anxiety or you get anxious, but if you're starting to like, oh my gosh, I need to be doing more. I need to get like 10 more publishers to publish 15 more of my books. Like I can't write fast enough. That just drives the wrong narrative. And,
absolutely.
You know, I think it's really great to kind of ground us, you know, Angie, and you help with that because your book Woven is a way to say, wait a minute, it's not about God's over here. Right. And wait. And now I'm over here. And then I'm going to put him here when I want to use him. No, it's about let's intertwine. True. Let's get this all together. Let's get messy together. And it's okay when I fall. Not falling on purpose always, because you know, you have those people, well, if I can be forgiven for any sin, then cares, right? You know, that's the wrong side of the ladder we're talking about here.
Right.
But when we're actually trying to live out and obey God, having him woven in our life, oh my gosh, it is totally a gift. Mm-hmm. And it allows us to put down those mirrors that say, do I look like you?
Right.
You know?
It's hard. Oh, it's really hard.
It is hard.
I think one of the things too is I have a couple. I mean, I only have a couple really dear friends that are the people who are in it with me. And I think it's important to have those voices that are, you know, just, and I think during this whole time period when we're so pulled away from everything that it's even easier to sort of imagine what the world looks like out there and separate it from our reality. I noticed myself during the pandemic, you know, and I've struggled my whole life with depression as well. And that, I think it's depression and anxiety for me, but it was so heightened. There was a part of me that, it's funny though, I love being at home. I just would stay at home. I'd watch Dateline. I've never missed an episode of Dateline. I could commit the perfect crime. We always joke. I'm like, if my husband does me wrong, they will never find his body. Never. Don't wear your real shoes to the crime scene. They're gonna look at the footprint. Don't Google, like, how do I bleach someone and then buy tarps? There are a lot of things you can do. We'll talk about that next time.
Right. There you go.
But I love being at home, you know? And so my husband's best friend said, Angie, let's be honest. You've been training for COVID for 43 years. I'm like, truly, I have. Like, I just want to stay home and be. So my push was like, I have to get back out with people and connect. And I had sort of, I realized how much, again, a toll it had taken of looking at other people's lives. And I felt the more and more that I was backing away from my own, you know, it's like we're trying to get back into rhythms that we haven't had in more than a year. And I don't know. I feel like it's obviously, it's a weird time. We all get that. But I think we're doing a pretty good job of trying to do it together though, which I think is a really special thing. And so those couple people, whoever they are, I don't know. I don't know if everyone else feels this way, but it's bound us closer. You know, it feels like those are the voices I could not live without hearing. And so when I do have those patches, there is someone who's walking through my front door going, Angie, we're doing something. Come on, let's go. Stop comparing yourself. That's not who you are. Reminding me who Jesus sees me as in a way that I believe. So anyway, I know that there are people listening who have struggled and maybe more so in the last year and maybe have pushed God away and maybe are doubting him or who they are and are wrestling with things that are sort of, you know, I almost said unprecedented. I'm just done with that word. They need to just take that word off the list. But anyway, yeah, it's a strange time.
It is a very all strange time. Confusing. Yes, yes. Well, and all the more reason, though, why you want to be woven into God's word.
Nice.
And, you know, and have him true. Just to be with you in the craziness, because everything can go crazy, right? The internet can go out. I mean, I love it because I get to talk to you and we're in two totally different cities.
Right.
But the thing is that it doesn't matter if the internet goes out. Mm. God's still always there.
Right.
He doesn't ever leave. He doesn't need power.
Right.
He doesn't need the internet. Wi-Fi, who needs Google when you got God? You
know, so that's a good book title. Write that.
I'll do that. Well, maybe we can co-author it together. How's that? I love it. Well, I know, Angie, people are going to want to connect with you. Where can they find you?
I am at, I love Instagram. Instagram is probably my favorite. I am official Angie Smith on there, mostly because a lot of the Angie Smiths are already taken. But yeah, I do Instagram, Angie Smith Ministries.com. I think that's right. Angie Smith. I'm on there. You can find me. Come find me. Let's hang out.
Well, we'll be sure to have all that information in the show notes, so it'll be readily available to the listeners. Well, before I let you go, I have one final question. The series is called My Strength is My Story. Mm. What has your story gifted you?
I would say empathy. I would say that I've, because I wasn't raised in a Christian home, I made a lot of really, really bad decisions. And I think that one of the gifts that God has given me is that I'm able to see people differently. I can see myself in them. And because I was really raised in a home where there was, I could have brought home any person of any race or sexuality or, and it was just sort of, and so my beliefs are firmly rooted in scripture, but I also feel like God has given me a different empathy for people who have gone through loss, for people who are struggling with addiction, for just, you know, that whose lives don't look again like the rest of the pew, the way that I pictured the rest of the pew. I think that's probably my answer. And I like that. I really like that title for the series. Well done.
Thank you.
Got a lot of book titles in you.
Well, thank you. Well, I got to tell you, I know God is going to bless you in your journey. It may not be seamless, but I bet you it's going to be matchless. Many, many blessings.
Thank you so much for having me. I hope I get to meet you in person one day.
I sure hope so. Thank you.
Feeling inspired, ready to train for life and love your journey? Visit createyournow.com for more incredible resources to help you along the way. We'll see you next time on Create Your Now, Your Best Selfie. And remember, always be sure you consult your physician before beginning any health and fitness plan.